And now, our feature presentation.
It's Toucher and Rich's Laugh Damage.
Woody the big woody reindeer had a very large behind. And if you saw it jiggle, it would really blow your mind. All of the other reindeers trying to make it feel ashamed. They would look down on Rudy just to see he wasn't the same. Then one froggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudy, all you do is work. Won't you show me how to twerk?
Especially Christmas season when a big Frida Christmas rears out its head and gives you Rudy the Big Booty Reindeer. By the way, Big Frida, if you didn't know, like at some point in almost every one of her songs, it just turns into just repetition. Kind of like...
Nice.
You see, there's ass everywhere, and yeah. They want you to know that, indeed, these asses are everywhere. So the concept hasn't quite been... put in your head, or you can boot it up, booty up. So she takes a concept. She's kind of revolutionary that way. She takes a concept and says, you know, maybe you didn't understand it the first 50 times I said it. I'm going to say it over and over and over again, and then I'm going to say it even more.
Really drive it home.
Just drive home the point, Big sure. Frida with a Big Frida Christmas. Okay, so we were talking about something off the air, which I'm kind of fascinated with now, because last year, I guess it's been about a year since the announcement was made. It seems like a year. The XFL, Vince McMahon, of course, the guy from the WWE, came out and said that he was going to launch a brand new football league. Now, at the time, it couldn't have been timed any more perfect. The NFL was having major problems.
Yep.
People were complaining about the pace of play.
Ratings are down.
The ratings were down, and everyone was saying, how do we improve this? And Vince McMahon says, you know what? Here's an opening for something special. I can come in here and I can promise them, you know, high scoring games, faster pace. I know he said that there's going to be like, you know, cheaper tickets and blah, 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 blah. And he said, we're going to give the people what they want. Now, he didn't get any specifics as to how it was going to be changed.
No.
He was just extremely general.
They were like, it'll be safer, but they never really said how it was going to be safer.
Right. They never even said any of that. And so yesterday, the XFL makes another announcement, and this time it was, you know, the cities it was going to be in. But my first reaction to that was, wow, there's still the XFL. They're still going to do this, huh? Because this year's NFL is almost the complete opposite of what it was last year. I don't think there's anybody who can look at the product that the NFL has delivered this year and not gone, man, this has been a pretty high-quality product.
And also, don't forget, there's yet another football league that has announced and is going to start playing.
What's that
one? The AAFL?
The Alliance League or something like
that. So this will be the third professional football
league. How do I not even know about that?
They just did a draft the other night. The only reason I know this, they just did a draft the other night, only quarterbacks. And the Redskins signed one of the quarterbacks, Josh Johnson,
Johnson.
Instead of Kaepernick.
Johnson, I believe, was the overall number one pick in this league.
So what is the deal? You said the Redskins did. Is this almost like the Gatorade League with the
League? No. Yeah. So the Redskins just signed a guy who was going to play in that league because he couldn't get a job.
No, this is not affiliated with the NFL at all.
Okay.
No. It's the same idea as a competitor to the NFL as the XFL. Okay. It's just going to start first.
But I mean, I don't care how pessimistic you are about the sport and about the NFL and you know, and obviously the past couple weeks, PR-wise, have not been good for them at all. But the product on the field has been amazing.
Yep.
I mean, even like, because I mean, last year you used to say, oh, well, Thursday Night Football always sucks and Monday Night Football sucks. Thursday Night Football, the majority of it's been really good this year.
Tonight might stink, but I agree. Thursday games have actually been okay this year. Yeah.
And usually it's like, you know, you would you cover your nose. I mean, every game was atrocious. The numbers have all gone up, and I know it's because there's been a whole lot of moves that have been made to make this a more offensive league. I got no problem with that.
Me neither.
That Chiefs-Rams game was unbelievable. And I know there are people out there saying, well, if you don't like defense. No, that was it was astounding. Now, if it was that way every game, it would be a little ridiculous. But you got to see two elite offenses just go at it. Yeah. And there were some pretty big defensive plays for letting a team score 50 points.
Three defensive scores in that game, yeah.
Right. So I think that just this is the wrong time. Like when the XFL says we're going to fix the NFL, NFL's pretty damn good now.
I mean, is it possible? And I don't know. I was just thinking about this as you were saying it. Is it possible part of the reason the NFL has reacted is because there's actual competition out there?
Well, what could the XFL do to make it more exciting?
I don't know. If it's going to be wide open, if it's going to be, I don't know. Is the NFL looking at it and saying, okay, let's pull the reins back even more than we've been doing?
I don't even know what, because I'm trying to think about this and like saying, okay, so here's what Vince.
I mean, I guess there's already arena football. There's already a bazillion points in arena football, and it's not like the NFL had change to that.
Okay,
right.
So here's what he promises. Yesterday, the commissioner, Oliver Luck, came out and said that it's going to be a fast-paced, which it is.
This is the
AAFL.
This isn't the XFL.
No, this is the XFL.
Oliver Luck is XFL.
Is it? Yeah. Okay, I'm confused as to which one it is.
He said fast-paced,
XFL. Okay.
Safer on-field product, which immediately, when you say safer on-field product, unfortunately, it makes people go, well, it's going to be watered down.
Right.
Don't. Isn't that immediately what you think?
Yeah.
Now, we all want it to be safer. We really do.
It's going to be like football, yeah.
Sure. With fewer game stoppages and penalties. All right. Now I understand that, but I mean, even this year, like, it hasn't really pissed me off as much as it did last year. I mean, there's been several games. Like, there was one, a Patriots game a while back. I forget which one.
Honestly, that Chiefs-Rams game had a lot of penalties that slowed it down early, but
and I didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's weird. The ticket price will be significantly lower than the NFL. Well, they should be.
Yep.
Because you have a bunch of no-names. Like, there's superstars in the NFL. What, are you going to price it the same thing as going to go see the Patriots versus the Packers?
What if they bring back He Hate Me?
Well, He Hate Me was all right. Yeah. You know they're going to find some sort of way to interject him there. And then that's all they promise. So how is this going to be any good whatsoever? Like, how is this product going to be any good at all
if this
is all they promise?
You know what else? They're playing. The XFL is playing in big stadiums.
Yeah.
I mean, they're playing. The New York team is playing at MetLife Stadium. The Seattle team is playing at CenturyLink Field where the Seahawks play. I mean, Tampa's playing at Raymond James Stadium where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play. I mean, this is, to say the least, not extending yourself but extravagant for the type of league they're probably going to put out there.
Well, it says the eight XFL teams are going to be based in. So they picked eight cities that they're going to be based out of. New York, Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa Bay, and Washington, D.C.
So they're all – so are they all NFL cities except St. Louis, which is a former NFL city?
Yeah. Looks like it. Yep.
Yeah.
And Los Angeles is barely an NFL city. I mean, think about it. I mean, you have one of the best teams in the country out there, and they're still – aren't they still having a hard time selling out those Rams games?
I don't know about recently. They were at the beginning of the season.
Sure. But hey, even at the beginning of the season, that's inexcusable because the year before they were really good. They were an exciting team.
And they went out and spent a ton of money on Tlaib and Sue and guys like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is already something that I just – the whole business model. Because how would you improve the NFL right now? Like, what would you do to improve the NFL? Now, there's some penalties I would get rid of, obviously. I mean, it's still over-penalized. We know that. But they've done a pretty good job – like, I know that they got rid of the commercial before the kick, like, you know, like kickoffs after scores, like that they've done. I don't think you need to review every touchdown, like, you know, things like that.
Yeah, but you're talking like minor pace. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, minor pace of play. Things,
sure.
Right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing the pace of play picked up a little bit, I guess. I don't really mind.
And how would you do that? Just the amount of time they have to get to the line, and I mean, like, you know,
what I would like to see is not realistic is a reduction in commercial time. So yeah, I don't really know how.
It's the only major thing I can think of. I mean, don't review all touchdowns. I mean, the questionable ones, yeah, but I think you can skip by the ones that are obvious. You know what I mean? No hesitation.
I mean, I really don't have a big problem with the league being offensive. I know a lot of people do. Like, oh, stop favoring the offense so much. I don't really mind that. So no, I mean, if you're gonna improve the NFL, I think a lot of it is from a PR standpoint. I think a lot of it is from more off-field stuff than it is the on-field product. I've been critical of the on-field product in years past, the quarterback play and things like this. It's been really good this year.
And you've even got, like, you know, people are saying, well, you could bring in the WWE element where people are, like, talking trash on each other. And you know, they can run their mouths. Now, I would like that. I would like the ability for... Mic'd up players would be phenomenal. You want to do that? Excellent. Like, I mean, how many times have you... Like, how great is it whenever, like, once a year you get a Belichick mic'd up segment?
Yep.
Like, that's always interesting.
Yeah, but and you even know, though, it's like it's mic'd up, but, like, they're not going to make Bill look like an idiot. They're not going to expose him too much. They can expose all these guys because who cares about them?
Sure, but understood. But I mean, that adds a great element.
No, I'm saying that's an awesome element. Yeah, it's not going to be overly edited. They're going to give us the good stuff.
If you want to throw that in there, but you know, when you talk about, oh, you can have them all kind of talk trash to each other and stuff like that, they're kind of doing that now. I mean, think about the whole, like, you know, I know this is like last year, but Tlaib and the chain ripping off. I mean, that was hysterical. Even like Baker Mayfield, who Fred, I know, believes is a massive douchebag. And, you know, I'm kind of teetering on it, but he's entertaining.
Yep.
He's highly entertaining. The stuff he's been saying about Hugh Jackson's fantastic. I like that there's a new generation of players who aren't afraid to speak their mind. Now, the one thing I will say the NFL should be able to do if you want to encourage that is to not penalize people, especially coaches, for ripping on the refs. I think coaches should be able to go off on the refs. Like, what harm is it? Oh, you need to respect the referees. Nah, after the game, who cares? What, it's because they don't have, you know, good feelings, or they're going to turn the crowd against them or whatever? It's referees. Who cares? No one's going to go after the ref. I just think that things like that, if you want to make it more WWE-like, we're pretty close to it right now as is, unless it's the Patriots, of course, which everyone is, you know, scared to say anything, unless you're Rob Gronkowski. So, I mean, it's like, I just think this, I read this thing yesterday, and I saw that where they're going to put these things, and it's going to fail. It's going to fail so miserably, and maybe it had somewhat of a chance.
Isn't the bet just the appetite for NFL? Isn't that, or just for football, rather?
But haven't we learned that backfired on the NFL a little bit? Is that there was too much, football?
You need to miss it a little. I agree. You need to miss it a little bit.
Yeah, I think to an extent, but don't you look at it if you're the XFL and you're like, or the Alliance League, don't you look at it and you go, well, yeah, it failed. By their standards, it's still massive ratings, and people still watch. People tune in for the stupid Pro Bowl.
Who's going to play on it, too? Is it going to be like people like Terrell? Is this going to be like the big three league of the NFL?
No, I don't know. So that actually is a brilliant idea. That's probably what it should be. You know, characters and people we'd know, not a bunch of no-name, you know, guys who couldn't hack it.
Undrafted guys, right? Is that that's what it's going to be?
I believe that's
why do I want to watch that?
Right.
Why do I want to see that? I want to see the best of the best. Why would I want to watch undrafted guys?
Because you are such a football fan and you're jonesing for it during the spring. That's it. Why else would you do it?
Are you turning into the CFL, John?
Because the option
are you watching?
The alternative is I got to watch baseball.
The only reason I watched the CFL was when Manziel was big. I have not watched it since.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they would have to luck into a guy like Johnny Manziel, the XFL would have to, in order for you to get anyone to watch it. They would have to, and how often do you get a guy who's a superstar?
The USFL tried to do that, and they spent tons of money on big time players, and it still failed.
Yeah. So I saw that yesterday. I'm like, this is going to be awful. It is going to fail so miserably, especially with the NFL. And we were crapping on it more than anybody last year. NFL is a good product this year.
I like your TO idea. Get a bunch of, make it like the big three.
Just call like the broken bone. It's just the broken bones league.
Just guys are just tearing their ACLs left and right.
Within practice or the first like couple of days. Then it just becomes like there'll be like bets that like Joe Murray and Lifshatz will be taken as to which guy will snap an ACL first.
Yep.
That would be the only value in a league like that, is who's getting injured first. All right, 617-779-0985. It's playoff time right now for fantasy football. Any questions? The great Dave Richard will join us next.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Listen, all you mother.
.985 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and here we go. Playoff time. If you're in most leagues, a lot of them start this week, and the man who has been making people win in a lot of leagues. He was actually, to be quite honest, I won last year because of the advice of him on a weekly basis. Mr. Dave Richards from Brought to you by Nissan. Nissan, driven to excite. You can catch Dave on Fantasy Football Today live every day at noon on CBS Sports. New streaming channel, CBS Sports HQ, for the latest sports news, highlights, and smart analysis. It's all free at CBSSportsHQ.com or on the free CBS Sports app. Good morning, Mr. Dave Richard. Fred has the squirts, by the way, so he's not in this morning.
What's up, Rich? What's up, Adam? Good to talk to you guys. And it's fantasy playoff time, baby. I am psyched for it. And just in time to have a bunch of running backs and wide receivers that we would start be out for the year.
Yeah.
You saw Emmanuel Sanders not coming back anytime soon. Melvin Gordon is not expected to play this week. Just A.J. Green's out for the year. I mean, the fantasy gods are really laying us with a haymaker right now. But we will get by, and we will have sleepers, though. We'll be players who get some big opportunities.
Yeah, just a big pile of crap when it came to a lot of people's leagues this year or this week. Let's first start with like Emmanuel Sanders and wide receivers. If somebody right now is screwed, where do they go? Is there somebody they can maybe possibly get off the waiver wire that might be effective this week?
Well, at least at wide receiver, there's always something on the waiver wire that people can feel fairly good about. Let's start with the obvious. It's going to be Courtland Sutton, who will be the biggest benefactor of Emmanuel Sanders missing the rest of the season. Sanders was averaging about 8 targets a game in Denver, and I think Sutton will see, I don't think he's going to see all of those 8 targets at his way, but he might see close to half of them. I would also expect another rookie receiver, Deshaun Hamilton, to step into the slot role that Emmanuel Sanders is leaving behind, and I think he'll be fairly decent PPR, and he's out there in literally 100% of leagues. Like, nobody right now had Deshaun Hamilton on his or her fantasy team. But he's not the best guy to go and pick up. Curtis Samuel in Carolina had 11 targets last week in the same game that Greg Olsen missed, or got hurt in, I should say. And he's available in 80% of leagues. I like him quite a bit. I think he's probably one of the best guys that you can go out and pick up off the waiver wire. Chris Conley is another one. He's available in about 2/3 of CBS Sports leagues. And I'm going to go back to Anthony Miller in Chicago, especially now that Mitchell Trubisky is back under center for the Bears, or at least expected to be. We should see Anthony Miller step up, have more targets, and make more plays, especially against this Rams defense. Their secondary just hasn't been playing very well.
Okay, Rob Gronkowski's been killing me this year. And where do you rank him this week as far as with amongst your tight ends? Because, I mean, I looked around at some of the teams in my league, and some guys are just carrying one tight end. There's actually probably a decent amount of tight ends on the waiver wire. What are you suggesting? Or do you just run with Gronk? Is this going to be a good week for him?
I mean, I think you run with Gronk just because of who he is and what he's capable of doing. The fact that every week, no matter who the Patriots play, he's a candidate to score. I'm not looking at this matchup against Miami and going, oh, gee whiz, Gronk's going to get shut down. It's almost like you'd say about a comic book character. The only guy that's going to shut down Gronk is Gronk. And because he's not quite at 100%, there are going to be some games where he isn't going to deliver. And we've seen that, unfortunately, for most of the year. And it's worse this year than in the past because of all the other weapons in the New England offense. The Patriots have done a nice job of adding talent around Tom Brady. And so many hands are making light work for him. And he doesn't have to force the ball to Gronk. I'm still starting him this week. I've got him ranked 6th at tight end. I'll take a chance on a guy, and this sounds so gross, Rich. I'll start Jared Cook ahead of Rob Gronkowski. I wouldn't do it in real life. If I was ranking tight ends in real life, there wouldn't be a contest. But I'm looking for stats, and I've seen Jared Cook play well enough to give him the nod over Rob Gronkowski. And wow, Here's an interesting wrinkle. One of the hot waiver wire pickups this week was Jalen Samuels of the Pittsburgh Steelers, because you know that James Conner with the ankle sprain not going to play this week. Samuels is going to be part of the crew that replaces him. He's a converted tight end from college, and some sites you can start him as a tight end. If you can, I would start him ahead of Rob Gronkowski this week.
Oh, okay. So there are some places that you can still plug him in as a tight end?
Yeah, it's not going to be at CBS Sports. It's going to be on other websites that let you host their league. It's because when he came into the NFL originally, it was as a tight end, and some sites didn't make the conversion to him as a running back when the Steelers made him a running back. We did, so boo-hoo, if you've got Jalen Samuels, you got to start him as a running back. That's not a bad thing this week, by the way. Anytime you've got a Steelers running back, starter and a guy who's going to potentially get upwards of 15 touches, you go ahead and you start him, and that's what you should do with Daniels as a running back. But in some sites, you can use him as a tight end, and if so, you should. And believe it or not, you should start him over Gronk in those situations.
I'm curious. You mentioned the usage for Samuel. Ridley's in that backfield. The Chargers have a similar thing going on without Melvin Gordon, right? We at least think he's not going to play again this week. So Eckler and Justin Jackson. Do you, especially in the fantasy playoffs, do you shy away from some of those split backfields or potential split backfields, worried that your guy could get frozen out? Like, how do you approach that?
Well, it depends on who else I have on my team and who I'm going to compare him to for a starting spot. Now, in the case of the Steelers, I think Ben Roethlisberger just takes over everything there. I think he's going to throw a bunch. And Samuels is probably going to end up playing a lot because he's a better pass catcher right now than Stephen Ridley's ever been. And Ridley is almost 30 years old. He's basically 30. The last time he had 10 carries in a game and had decent numbers with it was 2014. He's really just not that great of a running back. He will get some run, but I don't expect him to even play like he did in Week 17 when it was a throwaway game for the Steelers and he had 80 yards and a touchdown then. And I actually think the Raiders will give the Steelers a game, so Samuels is going to get leaned on quite a bit. I think he can catch at least 5 passes in the game. The Chargers situation is a little bit different because they've got guys that are actually good running backs. Jackson is someone with fresh legs. I love using guys with fresh legs at this point in the season. It's another reason why I like Jalen Samuels. And Austin Eckler didn't quite look good with the offense last week. In fact, he had all the touches at running back in the first half against the Steelers, and he was miserable. The Chargers went to Jackson in the second half, and he looked a lot better. They used a power scheme in the second half. That worked a lot better for him. And they're playing Cincinnati. It's the easiest matchup on the board. I think Jackson's going to be better than Eckler, but I think both of them have a place in fantasy lineups this week. I would just pick Jackson over Eckler if I had to make a choice between those two.
All right, Dave, let's go to Dean on line one. Dean, what's up, man? You're with the great Dave Richard.
Hey.
Dave, I got two defenses. Tennessee at home tonight on a short week at Jackson with Jacksonville coming in, or the Chargers at home at Cincinnati, and then I need one flex. Drake, Gus Edwards, who was disappointing last week, and Golden Tate.
Okay, if it's non-PPR, you're going to go with Edwards in your flex. And I love the Titans defense tonight against the Jaguars. Any defense going up against Cody Kessler is a startable fantasy defense. But the Chargers are going up against Jeff Driscoll, and they're at home, and there's no A.J. Green, and the Bengals stink. So I would pick the Chargers. They're my top DST this week.
All right, let's go to Dan on line four. Dan, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
How's it going, guys? Steaking eggs?
What's up, Steaking Eggs?
So I've been riding high with Todd Gurley and James Conner all year, and now I've lost Conner for at least a couple games. I picked up Spencer Ware last week, and I have Kenyon Drake, and I got to make a decision.
Yeah, and it's not going to be an easy decision because Ware's going up against the Ravens. Their run defense has been great, but they have allowed a handful of touchdowns to running backs over the last month or so. So I'm going to lean toward Ware over Drake. I'm just not quite sure what to expect from him. I'll tell you, I'll couch it a little bit by saying that if it's full PPR, I'll take Drake over Ware because I don't think Ware's going to play enough in passing situations for him to get enough work to outdo Drake. It's real close between those two, Ware in non-PPR, Drake in full PPR.
All right, Dave, who will excite fantasy owners this week? It's brought to you by your local Nissan dealer. Get to Nissan's year-end event and save big. Shop ChooseNissan.com today. Who do you think, Dave?
Let's go with an oldie but goodie, and this might warm your heart a little.
Mark Sanchez?
No, I don't think you should ever start him. Start the Giants DST. But what about LeGarrette Blount? I think he could be a number two fantasy running back this week. Kerryon Johnson now expected to play. The Lions have given Blount at least 15 carries in each of the last two games, and they were competitive games against the Bears and the Rams. Now it's Arizona. I think the Lions can go to Arizona and win the game. The Cardinals can't figure out how to stop running backs. They've been giving up 4.5 yards per carry to them with 15 rushing touchdowns on the season. LeGarrette Blount will score. He'll get you 56 yards on top of it. He will be a top 24 running back this week. He will make you excited.
All right, Dave Richard, thanks for coming on with us. And I will send Fred with the squirts your best.
Yeah.
And I will tell him that you are very concerned about him and hopefully things dry up soon.
Yeah, very real concern.
All right, see you, Dave.
We'll talk to you, Rich.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Good talking to you, too. All right, 617-779-0985. I think we have something I'm kind of excited about. I've been holding on to this for like an hour and a half.
Ooh.
I was told something by somebody in the other room, which I'm very excited by. And I hope this is still the case, but we will get to that right after John Walk's headlines.
Kutcher and Rich.
.985 of Sports Up. It's Kutcher and Rich. That thing I was going to talk about has to be put on hold for a few. But we will.
Is it like another fun bit that you need to mentally prepare yourself for?
No, no, it's not that at all. It was something I was very excited about, but because of things that are going on behind the scenes, we can't get to it. Once everything is kind of cohesive behind the scenes, I will let you guys know. Trust me. I mean, it's something I'm excited about. I mean, listen, I'm now it's at the point where it's probably being built up to more than it actually is. No, it's not. This is actually something really cool. I'm very excited about it, but we'll get to that a little bit later on. But you just mentioned something. By the way, Danny Ainge coming up in 20 minutes. We'll have him on the show. And speaking of Danny Ainge, you just mentioned a rumor that was being reported this morning by who? Oh,
okay, so Jay Stu, Jimmy Stewart on Felger and Maz, he likes to kind of float stuff out there. And I know he's mentioned
dead bodies.
Yeah, well, besides that, aside from all the
down the river
the dead body tweets, he's mentioned John Wall maybe on the block and maybe the potential of him going to L.A. He's kind of floated that out there. So I get the Tom Ziller newsletter every morning, just kind of an NBA links roundup. He linked to one of the SB Nation websites that has the potential of Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kendrick Caldwell-Pope, kind of a big contract to balance out some money for John Wall.
I think that'd be great. If only to piss off Ball's father. Be fantastic.
Oh, that would be amazing.
LeVar would go ballistic if Lonzo got traded to D.C.
It would be phenomenal.
Great.
First of all, okay, so I know that there's chaos in D.C., but that doesn't sound like a good enough return for John Wall.
Well, so here's the thing with Wall. Wall's contract is about to go berserk. He's about to make like $40 million a year as a Supermax player in Washington. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably why the return may seem a little underwhelming, because that is going to be... Wall is a good player. He's a really inefficient player. A lot of turnovers, a lot of bad shots. Like, you're talking about some shots you don't like out of Jason Tatum, or I was mentioning Irving's shot selection. Like, John Wall is next level when it comes to bad shot selection and turnovers and never playing under control, always playing at a million miles an hour. But he's really talented, and he is a good player. And he's going to be making $38, $39, $40 million a year, whatever the math is. That's probably why the return sounds a little underwhelming, and I'd agree. That's a little underwhelming. I really liked Ingram coming out of Duke. Obviously, nobody likes Lonzo at this point, and Caldwell-Pope is just a rotational guy.
But the other side of it is that I don't think that's going to work in L.A. John Wall has it. Okay, so Kevin Durant this past week, it was kind of funny. Kevin Durant, I don't even know how the conversation started, but they were asking him about LeBron James and the potential to have different stars in the NBA want to play with him. And The Ringer actually wrote a really good article yesterday called Why Don't People Want to Play with LeBron James?
Because he's a dink.
He's one of the best players in the NBA. I mean, if not the best player, and you could possibly win a ring if you're with him and you're in L.A. There's a lot of reasons you would want to play with the Lakers right now. A lot. Not their coach, obviously. Although their coach is essentially LeBron James. And Kevin Durant just crapped all over LeBron James. And I know he was trying to do it respectfully. No, he crapped all over him. And some other players in the meanwhile. He said, it depends on what kind of player you are, whether you want to play LeBron. If you're Kyle Korver, well, then it makes sense. Because Kyle Korver in Atlanta was the bulk of the offense, and he's not a number one option at all. Not even close, is what he said. So his talent...
I mean, 100% right, just pretty mean, sure, but 100% right.
But he's being a dick, but he's definitely right. And he goes, so his talents benefit more from a guy that can pass and penetrate and get open. He goes, if you're a younger player like Kawhi, trying to pair him with LeBron James doesn't make any sense. Kawhi enjoys having the ball in his hands, controlling the offense, dictating the tempo with his post-ups. It's how he plays the game. A lot of young players are developing that skill. They don't need another guy. And he basically goes on to say that anyone who's really worth a damn and anyone who could take over a game in this league, essentially your top 20 players, don't want to play with LeBron James because...
There's only one basketball,
wow. And you'll never be the guy. And then he started, where he started talking about fanboys for LeBron James?
In the media?
Oh, here he goes.
Yeah.
He goes, so much hype comes from being around LeBron from other people, Durant said. He has so many fanboys in the media. Even the beat writers just fawn over him. I wonder if he's talking about a certain chubby prepubescent-faced ESPN writer whose name rhymes with Bindhorst. I said, even the beat writers just fawn over. And I'm like, we're playing basketball here, and it's not even about basketball at certain points.
Well, that's just Durant being butthurt.
Oh yeah, guys. So I get why anyone wouldn't want to be in that environment because it's toxic. So he's saying playing with LeBron James is a toxic environment, especially when the attention is BS attention, fluff. It's not LeBron's fault at all, is where he tries to cover his ass. It's just the fact that you have so many groupies in the media that love to hang on every word. Just get out of the way and let us play basketball.
I hope Kevin Durant goes to New York. That area will eat him alive.
It'll kill him. He can't take it.
Eat him alive. He has no chance.
No, he can't take it. And that boy, he is so... He's become the opposite of what I thought he was.
Wow.
I thought he was like an Iron Man. As a matter of fact, there was a short time where I would have taken Kevin Durant over LeBron James. Because I was just like, you know, LeBron James, you know, was, in my opinion, before he won these championships, like emotionally fragile. Kevin Durant was the guy who was sure of himself. And boy, ever since he made that move to Golden State, he could not handle the backlash of people calling him a ring chaser. And that's why he is leaving. Like, he's going to leave as soon as this year is done and get the hell out of there.
Well, and the whole genesis of this, or the central piece of this story, is it sounds like he's jealous of LeBron and the coverage that LeBron gets. And
sure.
He doesn't understand why LeBron's portrayed one way and he's portrayed another, which, you know, I don't like LeBron all that much.
But he is the best player on the planet.
Yeah, not even that. I mean, Durant's probably the second best player on the planet, so I don't even think that matters. It's just, you know, what LeBron did was soft. What Durant did was next level soft.
However,
and he still doesn't get it.
LeBron redeemed himself by going back to Cleveland. Like, that was... Listen, I hate LeBron. You know me.
Didn't he undo a lot of it by going to L.A.?
No, because he won them a ring. He fulfilled his promise. He went back to Cleveland, and for that, it's like, after you do that, you can do whatever you want.
Look at Cleveland now.
Yeah, he left him in shambles.
However, he got them
a championship, and it doesn't matter after that. He could have left the second after he won that, and that's all you needed to do. And so as much as I want to rip on LeBron James, that's the one move that when he did it, I'm like, whoa, dude, that is... You did it, man. You made someone who seemed like the most unlikable human being, like unredeemable. You look great now, man. You really do. And I know people have been wondering, you know, I wonder if Kevin Durant coming back to Oklahoma City.
What is your hesitation to any of this?
Because he went and won a championship there, but I don't think it's because he felt like he owed Cleveland anything. It was just the most convenient place to go, just like L.A. is the most
convenient place to go.
Yes,
everyone wanted him. They could have surrounded... Any team could have gotten rid of everybody and surrounded him with all-stars.
Not any team could have done it. One team had a Kyrie Irving, and they also... One team had the number one overall pick to go out and trade for the player of his choice, Kevin Love.
Sure, so, but he could have gone to teams that already had two established players.
Not every team could have done that.
Well, there are a couple that could have in a better market. With better owners. But he went back to a team
to go
that,
back
had crapped,
to Cleveland.
That had crapped all over him just because...
I don't think there's any pressure to go back to Cleveland. If you don't lose, then they've never won. There's no pressure there.
But the idea was he would go back to bring them a championship. He wouldn't go back to get to the finals and lose.
Listen, I hate saying that he's right, but he was right. And I mean, PR-wise... You couldn't have pulled a better move.
Of course, PR move. PR wise, it was brilliant.
But that's what this is all about. Durant hates him because it sounds like he's jealous of the love he gets.
You should just see through the PR is what I'm saying. It's brilliant PR, and he did win. I'm not pretending like he didn't win. I'm just saying the reason he went back to Cleveland was not because he owed him one or because he learned to walk and run and bleed there. It's because it was convenient basketball. He knew it was his best chance to win.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, it is part of it, and it helped, but he could have gone a bunch of other places. He could have. Teams, for LeBron James at that point, you have to remember, you know, several years ago, teams were willing to nuke their entire roster in order to get LeBron James and several other pieces around it. And there were some big teams that were in position to do so. And in that case, he went back to Cleveland. I can't crap on the guy. Now, I also think that now that he's in L.A., basketball's not his number one priority.
So this is what I was going to say about John Wall, and I think you're right.
And by the way, LeBron and Wall, I think, have the same age.
So here we go. So John Wall and him, it's going to be a bad fit on the court because they both need the ball, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both rep by Rich Paul. They're both clutch sports guys, which means, you know, Rich Paul is LeBron's high school buddy. So LeBron is in business with Rich Paul, obviously. They have bigger things going on with Spring Hill Entertainment and movies and Space Jam 2 and all these things. So John Wall is a business move. It's not a basketball move.
I think LeBron James, when he was in Miami and when he was in Cleveland, before they won their championships, that was his number one priority. It consumed him. He fell asleep at night, and that's all he thought about. And I think he was a machine that way. Now that he's in L.A., I think it's 80% of what he thinks about. I think it's like one of those things where, if I do again, that's fine. I want to be, I want to have more than Jordan. I want to have, like, you know, more championships, or at least as many, because I want to be known as the greatest of all time. But if I didn't, it's not as big of a deal as I used to think it was. Because now I'm already in the conversation. I've got all of this money, and now I can expand and do the movie side of it, and I can be a rock star and blah, 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 blah. I think it's like he's not 100% in. He's 80% in, and I think as long as that's
willingly
happening.
Willingly going to L.A. and playing with these players, I think, proves that. I mean,
it's not like they're bad now.
No, I understand that, but like,
they have a better record than the Celtics, who supposedly have magically turned the corner.
But we were just comparing it.
Jackass.
Look, if you bring Jones to the table, you're going to get about four or five of these for every four-hour show. That's three. But hold on, let me finish. When he went to Miami, we just got through saying he put together a super team. You go back to Cleveland. He had Kyrie Irving. You had the number one pick. You were able to get Kevin Love. You go to L.A., what do you have? It's different this time. Rich is right. It's different.
What do they have? They have pieces that people want that you can trade for John Wall.
They're not set up to go win a championship, by the way, like he was the last two times.
You can go sign a max guy this offseason.
You're not set up.
What if what if they get Anthony Davis?
Do you still think if they
rep by Rich Paul? What if they get Anthony Davis?
If they get Anthony Davis, then they are a contender, but they're not a slam dunk like that Miami team was, or that Cleveland team was, for example.
That team's pretty effing good.
It is pretty good, but you have to go through a lot. It's a much tougher road to go through the Western Conference. LeBron's not stupid. He knows this. It's different this year.
All right, everyone hates Adam Jones. 617-779-0985 being massively negative. And I will not even stand for you being this negative about LeBron James, and I hate him with all of my soul. Boy, do I hate that guy. He's a jackass. However, Adam Jones is irrational.
A listener has a perfect idea. Put Jones and Dan Roach in here for 4 hours and just clear out.
It would be like that scene in the movie Scanners. Everyone's head would just explode.
It would be great.
All right. We will take your call. 617-779-0985.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
What the hell's going on?
I'm kind of while
Bird,
we're in
Nick,
commercial.
Both you guys sit down.
All right. Well, let's just set this up. While I'm in commercial, I take a look at the Twitch chat off to the right hand side of the screen, and the two of them are going at it.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Nick, get in here, if you don't mind. Didn't mean to say get in here, but please get in here.
Oh, so in Fred's chair.
I don't care. The commercial break, it's such a rich, by the way. During the commercial break. It's always very odd when somebody who's not in this room is controlling the lights. So Nick came in and asked, you know, can we lower the shades a little bit? Because on the Twitch feed, it looks better. When the shades are down, it looks better. I like the natural light. I feel like a vampire not having any natural light. But I was like, you know what? Fine. We got an hour left in the show. I'll let you lower the shades. Let's do it. So he puts the shades down. And then somebody over in Burlington who runs NBC Sports Boston is moving all the lights around. Once again, I'm used to it. It's fine. However, now that the shades go down and the lights go on, and I'm like, okay, well, this is fine. And then all of a sudden, all of the lights go off, and I'm sitting in the dark because the shades are now down. All the lights are off, and I don't know what the hell is happening. Meanwhile, you got these two thespians, as we learned. Nick and Bird are running around and yelling at each other outside the room. And once again, this is a soundproof room. So all I see is like these mouths going.
What is going on?
And I see Dan just throwing his hands up in the air.
Dan can't see neither one of you. What's happening?
What's happening?
Nothing.
Okay.
Good answer.
I just put back the blinds up.
Okay. Bird, what's going on?
No.
Good answer. Honestly, Dan, in the other room, Dan is an observer of everything.
Dan knows what's happening.
What's happening?
See, there's a control room on both sides of the studio now, and they can see each other through. And there are the two of them are fighting off air, but online about what's going on the Twitch feed. So.
What are you fighting about?
We're not really fighting.
No, we're not really fighting.
We're not really fighting at
all. But you're running back and forth, and what's happening?
I wasn't running back and forth. That was all Bird.
I was just trying to make this window go up and have that one down.
The one thing I said to Bird, don't go in there and touch the shades because they're on an automatic up and down. And they're both controlled by the same button.
Bird, this is not like at home where you pull it down and bling, it springs
up
to the top.
Thank you, Rich.
These are like very expensive, like television.
Automatic room darkening shades.
Yeah, like these are.
Okay. I'll never touch them again.
Okay. So you were trying to manually pull one of those down?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not a good idea at all. Okay. That's probably worth like several thousand dollars, that thing right there.
After I said to him, don't touch the shades, they're on an automatic button, and they're both controlled simultaneously. Maybe it was...
Yeah, I just tore that one down.
How great would that be if like one day I just want to bring in a box with a big button on the top of it, and attached to the button is like a gigantic electrical shock, and I just want to sit it in front of Bird, and I want there to be signs all over it that say, don't touch the button. And I want you to say, don't touch the button, and at some point, you're going to see Bird like light up like a Christmas tree. He just told you to do it not to do it over and over again. He still did it. Okay, is everything all set?
Yeah.
Okay, we're all good?
Yeah, we're great.
Okay, is Twitch back up and running?
Yes.
All right.
For now.
For now. Okay.
Damn cameras.
No, it's not. Yeah, there's been some technical difficulties, but that's something that we now know why.
Yeah. So just real quick, though, Rich, on that thought about a big button that was electrified, what if you said to him, don't answer the phones. Whatever you do, don't answer the phones.
I like it. You're reverse psychology.
Every phone call we get.
You're a genius.
All right. Well, you might as well answer the phones because they all want to yell at Adam Jones, apparently.
Me?
Yes, yeah, they do. They think you're being ne'er-do-well, very
you.
Mean.
Go about answer phones.
About LeBron James.
Yeah. Well, people are defending LeBron out there?
Real quick, we have Danny Ainge almost on the phone, but here it goes. Rich, you guys are right about LeBron. Why are you even entertaining Adam Jones? He's never been right with any of his takes about anything ever. He's wrong 100% of the time. He's a contrarian. Adam, you couldn't be more wrong about his chance to get a title in Cleveland, and would you rather have a championship, blah, blah, blah. And then you've got somebody who says, sorry, guys, I can't listen anymore today. Adam Jones is the absolute worst. And then there's, no, I love Adam Jones. Somebody just put hashtag Sarge sucks. so, yeah, I mean, this is they all want to call and yell at you. But instead of them yelling at you, how about Danny Ainge yell at all of us? 617-779-0985 if you have a question for Danny Ainge. But we will talk to him about the turnaround this team has seemed to have over the last couple of games and so much more. Right, and no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.